God wants his people to live anxiety-free lives. As I just said, I was awakened in the middle of the night, and that phrase came to me. And I knew it was something to be shared this morning. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says that anxiety in the heart of a man will weigh it down, but a good word makes it glad. If you live with anxiety, you're going to be a person that's weighed down. In Luke 8, verse 14, there's two verses in Luke I'm going to give you. Luke 8, 14, and then Luke 21, 34 through 36, warns us about this, that if we are weighed down with the cares of this world and of this life, that the word of the kingdom will not be able to bear fruit in us. And Jesus actually said, take heed as you draw near to the end of the age. This is Luke 8:14, but Luke 21, 34 through 36 in particular. It said, take care as you come to the end of the age. End of the age. Allow your hearts to be weighed down, with cares. Be weighed down with cares. This seems to be what Jesus is teaching there. And you're living in just the whirlwind of distraction that this world gives us, then you really won't be looking for the coming of the kingdom of God. And you won't be living in uniqueness appropriate to the times in which we're living. Do I know for sure that we're coming to the end of the age? I don't know, but it could be that what's coming on the world right now is things that will lead up to the end of the age. And so this seems to be extremely pertinent to us as we draw closer and closer to that time that the Lord will return, that we be not weighed down with the cares of this world. Matthew, another verse, 19 through 34, where Jesus teaches us to not be anxious about us. And the way that we, at least in his instruction here, at this section of Scripture, the way that we begin to be free is two things. Is first of all, we recognize God's great care for us. If God so clothes the lilies of the field, if he doesn't allow one sparrow to fall to the ground without his knowledge, how much more is he going to take care of us? Now, most of us have not had to live in much of a sense of that because we live in a very prosperous society and we've had what we've needed always. But what if times came where we had to trust God for everything? There were people who lived in times in biblical salvation history that had to trust God, even on a daily basis, for food. And the people in Jesus' time, that's how it really was. They lived in a very tough world at that time. And so when Jesus taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread, it was very real to them. And so Jesus teaches us to not be anxious about our life. And the first thing is to recognize that God has great care for us. But the second thing is to put our focus where it should be, which is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God giving us the promise that the things we need then will be added to us. And that we are to not take thought of tomorrow because tomorrow will take thought of itself. So many people live in anxiety because their mind is on the future. What's going to come? What's it going to be like? What if the economy collapses? What if this happens? You have, you know, the Lord said you can't even make one hair on your head fall out or turn, you know, he turns them white, at least in my case. For men that Jesus said that, but the point is that we're to put our focus in one direction, and that is the seeking first of the kingdom of God. Now, so on a practical level, here's two more verses to consider. I hope you're writing these down, because these are things to go and read and pray about and consider for your life. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul tells us to not be anxious about anything. Be anxious about nothing. Well, that's really quite a statement to me, because that's so all-inclusive. He's really saying there is nothing in your life you should be worrying about. Does that mean we live this sort of like glib life? No, we live a sober life. We live a life where we're trying to understand what God's will is and be walking in that. We're seeking God to walk circumspectly to know his direction for our steps. I'm not talking about living in some sort of glib way. But in the end, we live our lives completely having put everything into God's hands. We've committed everything to the Lord. And he says that he will be the one that will then establish our way. So be anxious for nothing. But what do you do instead of being, because you could say, well, I'm just not going to worry anymore. And then you continue worrying. The only way to be free of worrying is to have given everything to God in prayer. And that's what Paul instructs us with. In fact, go there to Philippians and just take a look at it with me. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. I mean nothing. Think about that. Most of us want to have something to worry about. And some people are well-conditioned worriers. Worry, 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 worry. Thoughts always churning, emotions always in unrest. How can you serve God when that? How can you really be free to serve God when you're living like that? You can't. And it's an indication of where your focus is at. Your focus is on yourself. Your focus is on your problems. And it's an indication that in some measure there hasn't been a real committing of things to God because you're not really trusting him to take care of things. And so what does Paul tell us to do? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So there's a nothing and an everything there. In everything. By prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. God already knows what you need before you ask him, Scripture says. But he wants us to take everything and give it to him in prayer. And what is the promise then in verse 7? Is that the peace of God that passes understanding. See, we a lot of times read the Bible, we lift verses out of context. We read this in context. Having done that, the promise is that the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our heart and our mind. And we need a guard over our heart, don't we? There is a lot of stuff thrown at us. You know, I tell you, folks, I really think, I mean, I'm not saying you can't ever watch the news or anything, but if you spend hours and hours just sitting and watching and listening to all that stuff that they're talking about, it is designed to make you go crazy. And so I'm just saying, even if you can, just take it in doses. Because if it doesn't make you go crazy, at the very least, it'll make you very, very angry. And you'll feel helpless. And in reality, I'm not saying don't be informed. I want to be informed about what's going on in the world. But I want my focus to be on the kingdom of God and my trust in God and what he's doing in the fulfilling of his purpose. Because what really matters in the earth is God's purpose. And I'm not sure very many people have a perspective, even with what's going on in our society, on what God is doing. Isn't that a good question? What is God doing right now in the United States of America? We got all of our focus on Barack Obama and Christopher Dodd and all of these evil people, and they're evil people. I think they are evil people. I really do. Let me go on the record. But what is God doing in executing his purpose? And so we should be committing everything to God in prayer. Final verse on this point. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us that we are to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily besets us so that we can run the race with endurance that is set before us. So that's our first point. God wants his people to live anxiety-free lives. Do we have agreement about that today? Not glib lives, not naive lives. We want to live circumspectly. It means that we live carefully. In fact, this is a narrow way we are on. So we want to live carefully. We want to, I hadn't thought of this before, but here's another verse to consider. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So when I say anxiety-free, I don't mean that we just kind of live carelessly, but we live with a trust in God, that God is with us, even in the midst of this craziness that's going on right now. Secondly, So second point. So point one, number one, God wants his people to live anxiety-free lives. Point number two, on the other side of anxiety is a life of secure, restful trust in the Lord, and that means peace. Brian made reference before to Psalm 91. Do you know that when you live in communion with God, the scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide, rest, remain under the shadow of the Almighty God. And then when that is real in your life, in our lives, even as a community, I of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 11 then. Definitely a place in Scripture that we should be giving our thoughts to what it tells us there. That if we trust in the Lord and commit our way to him, then he will be the one that will bring his good plan about concerning us. And so on the other side, I want to say point number two again. On the other side of anxiety is a life of secure and restful trust in the Lord, which equals peace. Thirdly, we're to live with purpose and with mission and with aim. And this third point has kind of three aspects next to it. First of all, we must know who we are. Christians, one of the biggest problems with Christians is they don't know who they really are. Scripture says we bought with a price. We are purchased people. God paid a great price to own you. The blood of his own son. And because we're bought with a price, it says we are not our own. We are the Lord's purchased possession. And as his purchased possession, we become the sons and the heirs of God. And he confirms that sonship by giving us the Holy Spirit. And in that gift of the Holy Spirit, we become the temple, the residence, the dwelling place of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, both collectively and as individuals. The scripture also says this about us, that we have been crucified together with Christ, and that we are risen together with him. And that the life we now live in this flesh, we live by faith in him, and it is Christ that lives in us. So here's a verse to write down on this first point concerning purpose, mission, and aim. Colossians mission and aim. 4 says, if you have been with Christ, seek the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. Set your mind and your affection on the things that are above and not on the things on the earth. It's pretty clear, isn't it? But what is that based in? It's based on the fact that you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God, he says. You've been risen with, you're risen together with Christ. And yet what is before us then in Colossians 3, 1 through 4 is that someday when Christ is revealed, we will be revealed together with him in glory as sons of God. That is our life. That's who we are. Secondly, this is under purpose, mission, and aim. We must be clear to live in accordance. I know this is going to be a mouthful. We must be clear about how God has called us to live in accordance with his will revealed in Scripture and in accordance with the gifts, the particular gifts that he has given to us, and give all of our focus and energy to this. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 talks about being filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will so that we can walk worthy of the Lord to please him in all things. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul tells us that he does not live his life without aim. That he actually makes his body his slave for the doing and the performing of God's will as he has come to understand it. He reins in all of his energies, all of what he is, in order to do the will of God. So let's not live aimlessly, amen? Let's live our lives in accordance with a knowledge of the revealed will of God. And thirdly, under purpose, mission, and aim, we must give consideration to the final reward. Before our lives are over, it is possible that we may endure suffering. And only those who have respect for the reward are going to be able to stand through that. Scripture says, don't throw away your confidence, which has, what, a great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance, that after having done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. That's in Hebrews 10, 35, and 36. So that's an exhortation for us this morning, I give, concerning how God wants us to live. Not anxiety-free lives, lives of secure and restful trust in the Lord on the other side of anxiety. Amen. And number three, living with purpose and mission and aim in accordance with the revealed will of God and the gifts that he's put within us.